from a weekend prototype built with ChatGPT that dramatically accelerated development, to the exciting opportunities emerging for engineers and AI specialists to transform the software development landscape. This episode dives deep into the future of AI in business. Join us as we speak to Yuri Yakolev, Chief AI Officer at Zasmic, to explore these pivotal moments and uncover their 2024 AI successes. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the AI and Beyond for Business podcast. Today, we have with us Yuri Yakolev, who is the Chief AI Officer at Zasmic. This is probably not a designation you've heard very commonly over the last few years, but I think at the moment, it's probably the most important position in the company. So welcome, Yuri. I want you to just kick off the podcast with sharing your reflections from the past year of AI. Did you expect 2024 to be such a significant year for AI? And did you expect this growth?
First of all, hello. Yeah, thank you for inviting me to this podcast. And we'll express my opinion about it. So last year was promising, and I think we achieved most of our expectations. The most time we were spending on working on expansion of our AI experience, working on prototypes, proof of concepts, workshops. We increased our partnership with Google in that direction. So that was promising, and we fulfilled it on 200%.
Awesome. And now before we get more into AI, I want to talk a bit about the origin of Zasmic, because you were part of that founding team at the beginning. We've already gotten Jan's side of the story. Jan was on the first episode, if anyone wants to go out, check that out. But what was it like back in 2013 in San Francisco? You know, all of you started from a garage, and now you've made this into a multi-million dollar company. So just talk us through that story.
Yeah, it was different. Times were different. We started back in 10 years ago with the remote first approach. It was something unusual. Actually, when I met Jan, I already had experience about 10 years in software development in different roles as a developer, as an architect, as a manager. And till that time, I already had an idea to set up own company where I will build processes as I see them. And then I met Jan. It was a recommendation of our common friend. That friend recommended me because I successfully helped him to deliver one of his projects. He got a lot of investments then. I will not name that project. And then we started with Jan. That's how it was. Of course, it was difficult to start. It's always difficult to start something new because only you know how to make it, and no definition will you have a success or not. Jan was always the visionary in our team, and I was always the technical specialist. So that's how our combination works until today.
Yeah, could you talk a bit about that chemistry you and Jan had? Because Jan was, of course, that visionary guy who told you what to make, and you were the tech genius at the back making those things. So how did you guys work? Could you talk a bit about the relationship you guys had while working?
Jan doesn't admit that, but he's a great sales manager. He loves to talk to people. He increase his network significantly. While I'm mostly introvert, I work with code. I don't like to talk too much, but recently that changed. Our years of experience in Zasmic, all of us get this experience, improved our skills. It was never that Jan is telling me what to do. He bring opportunities. He's the visionary in the company. He expand his network. He bring new opportunities, new clients. We brainstorm how to do it better. Mm-hmm. And it is open-ended. It's always open-ended. I implement this. It was at initial stages. Of course, now we are 400 of employees and multiple projects, departments. We're doing every project differently. But initially, we started like that and still continue. Jan was never happy with the achieved results. So we were working up to 200%. He's the person who wakes up at 5 a.m. to not miss important meetings, even if it's not convenient time for him. the same he expects from everyone. So we didn't have any schedule at our company, at least between two of us. It was normal to wake up at night, at early morning, to solve one of tasks. All the tasks were critical because we own the responsibility of the success and the result.
Yeah, fantastic. That sounds like a killer team combo to me. I want to, if you could perhaps sum up very briefly from that almost 11-year journey now, what is one thing which you think you've learned which is very valuable to you, or something you've held for the last decade?
For the last decade, I've learned how to test your code, how to evaluate definition of done. I am not asking clients, is it good to go? I am not asking clients about the feedback, is it well developed? Or because I tested myself. I always test myself the quality of produced deliveries. That's very important. You should put yourself into the shoes of your client. You should wear the hat of the client and the customer of your product and think, is it done well? Would you use this? What kind of feedback would you have? And that's very important.
Absolutely. Moving a bit more towards the AI side, because Zasmic has kind of been at the forefront of that for the last few years, both internally and externally. I want to talk a bit about where that started from. What was the first time where you really saw the potential and power of AI?
A couple of years ago, we had one of potential clients who asked to provide an estimate for one of startups, for one of mobile projects. Usually, I spent several days to prepare the architecture, estimate, documentation. But this time, I decided to try to build a prototype using AI. And I was impressed how fast it was. I spent a weekend, and in a couple of days, I had a working prototype, which I shared with the client. Of course, there was still some improvements to be done, but the initial phase of development of that prototype, it took so fast, and I shared my feedback. I shared my feedback with my colleagues, and we started to think about how to do it better, how to expand this, what else could we use. And that continued to expand, and now we built a lot of plugins, development tools to improve performance of our software engineers. We developed multiple tools for Visual Studio Code, for IDX, WebStorm platforms to boost the productivity. And not only developers, we do it for automation of other departments as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we kind of get more into how AI can specifically help out engineers and how you guys use it within Zasmic, I want you to talk a bit about this idea that you constantly also talk about within Zasmic, is that and perhaps it's to kind of calm the fears of a lot of your engineers, is that AI won't end up replacing you, but people who use AI will replace people who do not use AI. So can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, of course, AI will not replace people, but it makes life of people easier. At the company, we are practicing the continuous improvement model. So we always look for weak chains or processes which could be automated, where people spend enormous time and that could be improved using tools instead of the manual process. I think that's important for companies to scale, to grow, to automate processes. And if you're talking about marketing, recruitment, there are a lot of manual processes which could be automated. If before people did that using scripts, tools, now we use AI to produce some content, some documentation. Mm-hmm. So multiple markets, marketing team, recruitment, even migration team are using AI tools on a daily basis. Finance team. So that's all. which is possible to automate. Multiple examples in different domain areas where those tools could be used. Still, people don't lose their job. They continue to work, but they work better and faster.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing I really picked on all the uses you mentioned of AI is kind of going against this myth about AI that it's kind of limited to just chatbots or a very advanced chatbot. So if you could share any more specific examples of how AI is being used, perhaps by software engineers, and you can mention any tools you use, where does AI come into your workflow at a more kind of granular level?
Yeah, I started with chatbots. So just to mention that if before developers in daily work did use combination of keywords for faster code development, now they use chats. That's a new interface which is provided for software development. But let's think about cybersecurity. What about AI-based bot which will prevent spam and scam messages? It will recognize the message and will understand that that's a scam. Of course, it works both directions. Maybe you noticed now we get a lot of personal, like emails, hot cold emails from different marketing teams of other organizations who also use AI tools. So this works in both directions. But what else? We could use AI to summarize information. Imagine the recruiter is doing pre-screening meeting with the candidate. And we need a fast way to understand, was this meeting successful or not? As for developers, it's not only chat. We use tools to generate auto-tests. Most of developers know how important auto-tests for reliable and scalable products. But also, it would be the truth to say that most of developers don't like to write unit tests. It's about 30% of development time. That easily could be automated using AI tools as well. And so on. So it's not only chats. It's automation of different processes like summarization, classification, content generation, assistant tools, which helps to make decisions.
Yeah, and are there any sort of tools you'd like to call out which you personally use or people on your team use which you think are extremely useful for engineers?
I use those tools on a little bit different level, like a developer. I use some tools which would not say anything to non-developers, like Hugging Face platform for models, or Cursor, or Codepilot. Most often I'm using Gemini Code Assist. I like to use AI Studio from Gemini, because there is grounding from Google. You have the possibility to get answers which are up to date. There are thinking models, which not only provide you answer, but they provide you well-defined answer. There are models which are dedicated for better coding improvements. That's as well. As of tools for usage, like a client, I prefer to develop tools myself.
So I wanted to get into some of the potential pitfalls you see of using, or would you say overusing AI. Are there any sort of disadvantages you see of relying too much on AI within organizations?
A year ago, I saw there were higher expectations from AI from customers. For example, if it is summarization, customers expected 100% of precision. None of public available LLM model gives 100% of precision. That's not possible. Also, how LLM models work with information, what they consider important, what is not. It's not precise. So that's why it's important to note that AI tools are assistant tools. They help in our work. Still, this year is about to be promising new models are appearing. Now I work on experiments with text to video, images to video generation, or to synthesize the different texts, conversational dialogues. If you saw Notebook LM from Google, it's a great example of how conversational bots works.
Yeah.
Last week I built something similar and we are using it for internal usage. I wanted to add that soon companies will stop using then mentioning that they use AI to build that product. It will be by default. Mm. Most of us will use AI on their daily life and their work. There will be no reason to mention that it's built using AI. As we do not mention how bread is done or that car has wheels or tires, this way it will be no reason to say that's built on top of AI.
Well, I think Notebook LM has also already shown us the capability of making podcasts through it. But I guess there's something about the human touch which still keeps me employed, I guess.
Yeah, there is a chat, local community of IT specialists in Austria. I generate weekly digest for them. And last week I noticed AI constantly generating horses with six legs. If you will use AI too often, people will forget how real horses look like. Especially people who live in big cities, and they will believe that horses should have six legs. That's the danger of AI. You can use AI to manipulate about the people's opinion. That's why it was so stressful for American companies to see competitors like DeepSeek last week. The way to play with information which you would like to show to users.
Yeah, and I don't really know if there's a solution to the question I'm about to ask, but it's just a thought that came up. Going to more of the ethical and perhaps misinformation sides of AI, where you said that people will at some point just start believing that horses have six legs, but and that's where I'm wondering that. We talked about a post-truth era a few years ago when data was becoming such a massive thing and the use of big data. What are your thoughts on how AI is going to change that? You know, there are all those kind of organizations like Google. They have implemented a lot of safety mechanisms to make sure that the transparency is there when people know something is developed by AI. But not everyone's going to do that. So, how do you see the future of the security ethics related to AI? I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, I think there will be the switch from classical software development. A lot of the way how people will write software will be changing. Now we work with high-level software development languages. I started my education, not a career, education with an assembler. Nobody's using assembler these days. But we then switched to C++, then we switched to C#, Java, and so on. We use high-level languages now, but it will be changing very soon. And I think there will be big companies. Of course, I don't know what the companies will do. I can only guess. I think they will decrease the amount of software engineers who do classical software development, and they will push to another direction, cybersecurity, cloud ops. Still, there needs high demand now in most of countries in data specialists, data science specialists, people who work with data, optimizing and fine-tuning the models, and so on. So there will be shift, there will be changes, but I think we should always learn something new. It's great that these things happening these days. It's not a tragedy for developers, it's an opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. I really appreciate your time. We have a couple of questions, though. These are more audience questions, so I'd like to kind of like for you to share a bit of your personal insights here as well. But the first question is, what's the most important lesson you've learned as an entrepreneur or leader in the AI space? Were there any mentors or influential figures who played a significant role in your development?
Lessons I learned as an entrepreneur, as a leader in AI space? You should constantly learn and adapt new technologies. Last year, I submitted my documents to university again to start learning data science.
Wow.
There is always lack of skills, lack of knowledge. We are a little bit behind. Technologies are evolving and growing extremely fast. And it's critical to learn constantly on a daily basis. That's why when you see Bill Gates recommending to read some books, don't miss that opportunity. Pay attention to this.
Do you have any books to recommend?
Mostly recently I'm reading documentation for APIs usage of different platforms, like how to work with Vertex AI, how to work with the Hugging Face. I would recommend API documentation for Meta and for Microsoft. That's great resource.
Awesome.
Read.
Awesome. And then the second question was, were there any mentors or influential figures who played a significant role in your development?
Influencers for me are entrepreneurs or people who build something, some real products or service, and found his niche in the market. That sometimes looks easy, simple, but there are always a lot of work behind of all of these stories. And that's really great when people know how to build their technical skills and to use them to produce something which is useful for people. The same we can say about OpenAI or similar companies who are producing something which is changing people's lives. So I think that's the most.
Any names you'd like to mention here?
No advertisement.
Well,
I like the phrase of Snoop Dogg. I would like to thank me, and only because of me, I became whom I became.
Okay, so looking ahead, what are some of the most transformative possibilities you're looking for AI in 2025? Which industries do you think it's going to really shake up?
If recent years AI was mostly used in tech sector, but now I think AI will be used more in other sectors, in logistics, in medicine, finance, banking, meal tech, and so on. So I think AI will be widely used in other sectors, and we will see it in our life. I see the changes will be significant and even difficult to predict where we will be in 1 year. I see huge competition between big companies in this area and new products, new services appearing on a weekly basis. So let's see where we will be in 1 year.
Yuri, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you everyone for listening. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the AI and Beyond for Business podcast. If you got value from this episode, please subscribe on the podcast app of your choice. Join me next time where I'll bring you more insight into technology that is changing the course of business.